surpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 years. Now we can see it. We can't remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amici the Buddha, amici the Dharma, amici the Sangha. Talk today about the thing that is most difficult in what we're trying to do in our training and where the area of greatest risk lies and what is needed in order to navigate the really dangerous waters that we encounter from time to time. There's this beautiful catch-22 in genuine contemplative practice. And this catch-22 is this. The process of the training is a kind of cooking, spiritual cooking and distilling down of lumps of ignorance, confusion, grief, and longing. It's the felt need to do something about cause of our spiritual pain that is a constant inducement to do the training. At the same time, this cooking and distilling down, refining process, brings us into contact with the really sharp edge of the ignorance and the grief and the longing. The confusion. So the risk that always goes with this process is that we'll get overwhelmed by that sharp edge and we'll drown in the muck right in the midst of our efforts to deal with it. There's something so perfect in this, so absolutely perfect in this, because there's only one way through it. There's only one way through it. One thing that actually works. We've got to get down on our knees and we have got to ask for help. I'm speaking figuratively here, but not just figuratively either. It's why we do so much bowing. We literally get down on our knees. We open ourselves to the eternal. I've never yet met anyone who can go through this process and not have serious wobbles at times, not have to pick themselves up out of the muck time and again and do sangha and go on. Definitely not a business for self-satisfied people. This is the most disturbing, disrupting spiritual process at times. We have to face some things about ourselves that are acutely, agonizingly painful. And then see what can be done with it. First half of the litany of the great compassionate one is the best short description of this that I know of. You can take it line by line. Defilement, earth, earth. Do the work within my heart. O great victor, I hold on, hold on. Hanging on to the eternal for dear life. Hanging on to that bright spot in the darkness for dear life. There's no place for pride here. There's no place for complacency. And this is the cure for pride and complacency. There's that saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. In the time of the greatest spiritual need, all the silly opinions go out the window. You're left with the bare reality of that need. And there is only one thing that can meet that need. There's nothing in this unique to Buddhism. This is the very heart of all religions. I don't know of any other religion that explains so fully and so clearly what goes on in this process, or that has a practice that so strongly supports it. And no religion, no ideology can claim it for its own. It's its unique property. Having cried out for help, we still have to do our part. That means we really have to grasp our will. And we have to do the holding on to what matters and the letting go of what doesn't. There are times when it takes a tremendous effort. And if you are asking for help and if you're making that effort, you will not be overwhelmed. If you're asking for help and you're not making effort, you're in trouble. If you're making the effort and you're not asking for help, you're in trouble. If you're asking for help and you're making the effort, you will not be overwhelmed. Rather, that distillation process will complete itself and the deep conversion will happen. And what has been a lump of greed, hate, and delusion will become an aspect of enlightenment. This is why the joy in a Kensho is simply indescribable. The joy that is experienced is indescribable. Because one actually experiences what I'm describing happening. Don't think that one conversion of one lump is going to deal with all the lumps of need. So always we must be disturbed by the truth. Always there is the going on. As our master so often said, we've never gone so far that we can't at least potentially be influenced by our past karma. I realize that at times when you're right up against it, this can be very discouraging. The sheer difficulty of it can be discouraging. When you get discouraged, it's because you're thinking ahead. And or you're dwelling on the past. You won't be discouraged if you let go of the past. Don't worry about the future and just deal with what is needed to be done in the present moment. There is no accumulation. No accumulation in, from the past, no accumulation into the future. Let it go and focus on what needs to be done now. People often think, I've been training all these years and I've hit this wall of difficulty, and it just seems to get worse and worse, and there seems no end to it. Don't count all those damn years. Don't worry about when it will end. Get a hold of yourself now and deal with the need of the moment. The fact that it's been difficult all those past years is not, does not provide a good reason for abandoning one's responsibility for oneself in the present moment. The fact it may drag on for eons also doesn't constitute a good reason to abandon responsibility for oneself. Don't play the victim of your own karmic inheritance. You're not the victim of it. You're its custodian and steward. And whether you know it or not, it's your treasure. Raw, undeveloped form. When the process of conversion is further along, one sees it in this way. One is grateful for what were the causes of suffering. Which doesn't mean that one wants to go back in there and make it happen again. We're the beneficiaries in this present moment of all the good-hearted thrashing around that has gone before. And even the meanest spirited and cruelest and goofiest thrashing around still has at its center and its essence a good intention that's got incredibly confused and pained. We're the beneficiaries of this peculiar, astonishing, painful muck. And the stewards to help it return to the eternal. Don't ask for help and then just lay down and be passive. Ask for help, grasp the will, and make one sound move at a time. We have to put some oomph into meditation, some oomph into mindfulness, some oomph into the positive activities that we do in daily life. This is the great adventure. Don't treat it like a prison sentence. And don't be paralyzed by fear about how it might go wrong. There's never a time when you can't ask for help. There's never a time when you can't take responsibility, see what needs to be done, take the next step. That's enough. Leave the rest to the eternal.